Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Hey, good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners.
Oh, thank you. Good morning to you, too. You had a busy weekend.
Well, it sounds like you did, too. We were both doing different things this weekend, and I think both of them were quite important. The one I went to was called an infertility symposium that kind of switched over to the more biblical phrase of barrenness, because you don't find, obviously, the word infertility in the scriptures, but you do. It is always about barrenness, and so we had, I think about six speakers, and we went from speakers. We went from 7:30 to about we had a little Gemütlichkeit, a little fellowship after it, and then a little dinner. I think I got home about 9:20 Saturday evening. So, and then up to preach on Sunday. So all was well.
Well, tell us what were some of the things that were addressed at this the symposium.
Well, it started off, of course, with a lot of theological input from various pastors who have worked in this area. I don't have the bulletin in front of me, but they talked about certainly taking care of people who are barren, showing a lot of listening, a lot of care, and learning as much as you can about it. Because if you have not been through any of this, it's good to listen to the people that have been barren, and both husband and wife, because this is just the way it is. So that was one of the areas, was pastoral care. The other area was talking about what is marriage, what is the one flesh union. I recall one of the attendees there. He stood up and he said to one of the speakers, he said, "Well, would you please define one flesh union?" And he defined it, of course, according to the scriptures, that this is it's just what it says, a fleshly union in Christ. And so what was important then in the marital rite was the blessing of God, and that the two became one, because of course Adam, meaning ground or dirt, came from dirt, and then of course Eve came from Adam. So we have the flesh, and then of course we have the marital union into one. So that was a very interesting, and I think all of the speakers kind of touched on that. Dr. Kevin Voss, I can't remember him. I had him as a student. He's a professor up at the Concordia University in Mequon. He gave a lot of statistics about pastors and their view on barrenness, and especially their view on in vitro fertilization. So that was the other area that they got into, is what is the synodical perspective or view of in vitro fertilization. And we don't really have an official position, other than we certainly don't support surrogacy. That is a substitute for the mother and father. We don't support sperm and egg donation. I do remember Pastor Brock talking about all of the history. He went through from the very beginning all of the papers and CTCR documents that were written by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Commission on Theology and Church Relations, that dealt with barrenness and infertility. And that was quite an interesting overview, because many people had to say, why haven't we been doing something more on this to help structure our thinking? And the bottom line, of course, from that came that since we don't have a clear picture in Scripture, we don't want to bind the conscience. And that of course, elicited some interesting discussions, because some are saying, what does that mean? And so that was a very interesting part of the whole day. Dr. Jim Lamb, executive director of Lutherans for Life, he kind of gave an overview of in vitro fertilization as an entree into the topic of embryo adoption, which I had to talk about. But he left out, and not unintentionally, because I was covering, and that is taking one sperm and putting it, literally drilling it into a woman's egg. I showed a video of that, and apparently people that had never seen that before, in fact, all of the attendees, which I think amounted to about 80, they all kind of cringed when they saw the sperm being injected with a needle into a woman's oocyte or egg. So that, I basically came down with embryo adoption because there are about 600,000 of them unclaimed, and they're frozen in liquid nitrogen at minus 321 degrees Fahrenheit. That certainly we shouldn't be freezing because we can't parent a frozen embryo. And secondarily, if you adopt, or the legal term is relinquish, because frozen embryos, because of law, are considered property, then you become the substitute. The mother and father become the surrogate. And the scriptures are clear that we are not to have surrogates or third or fourth parties involved, because you could receive frozen oocytes or eggs from two or three different couples to implant into a lady's womb, especially if they want to adopt from one family only has one embryo, then they will adopt from two or three other couples to add to the numbers, hoping that one works. So I did not come down on the side of embryo adoption because of the whole project of freezing, and secondarily the whole issue of surrogacy, and I gave them some terms in terms of Latin, and that means substitute. So the last talk dealt with, as I said before, pastoral care, which I thought was very good. I think his name was Pastor Eskett. And it was a very good talk on taking care of men and women who are barren and struggling with this, because it's just not a woman thing. 35% of barrenness occurs with men, 35% occurs with women, and then there's about 25% of both. And then sometimes, and those are medical reasons, and then there's usually a 2 to 3% nobody really knows for sure. So that's kind of a brief overview of what went on at the symposium.
There was a lot of information certainly covered. Who all attended the symposium? Who were the folks that attended the infertility symposium this weekend?
Well, there were, Concordia Theology for, Seminary in Fort Wayne brought about, I think, 7 or 8 students, which was nice. Concordia Seminary had some students there as well. There were mostly pastors and lay people, especially those who had been struggling with infertility and were interested in additional information. So it was, my general overview was pastor and lay people that attended that had questions about infertility and wanted additional resources, which were provided at the workshop. So all of the people that spoke, you know, gave additional resources that people could have in terms of learning more about it and some of the struggles that are going on with this. So that was kind of the overview of the attendees.
Were there a handful of parish nurses there as well and other church workers?
I really don't know. I know there were a few DCEs, Director of Christian Education. There was, I think, more deaconesses than DCEs, people that are, you know, working in the parish area. I did know, you're right, there were two parish nurses. I did not know them personally, but I just heard some people over talking that this is what they do, and that this is a huge issue, but it's always a pretty silent issue in the church, and that was one of the areas that they tried to address, that it shouldn't be so silent, and that there are people in the church who go through this, met a lady that, her and her sister both are barren and have been struggling for years, so it's. I talked a little bit about my family and one of our daughters who's been struggling with this since marriage. So it's an issue that I think that if you haven't gone through, it's the same old thing, Andy. It's pretty hard to comprehend the emotional struggle. The one thing that wasn't addressed that I think perhaps if they ever do this again is they did not have any men or women who struggle with infertility speaking on this, and they did not have a specialist in endocrinology who actually deals with this technology or an attorney who knows the law. And I think next time they do this, they're going to do that, because there were questions that none of us, because of our current vocations as pastors or teachers or lay people, you know, with other responsibilities couldn't address. So this typical symposium, you tend to say, what can we do to improve in the future and in terms of education? And those were two areas that they certainly have been thinking about.
Well, it sounds like it was a start to a good conversation and an ongoing conversation that hopefully we'll continue to have on this important topic.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head. Conversation and providing resources was the biggest help in all of this, because as you well know, just getting together in the breaks, that was a big help because people got to talk about this with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big help as well.
Sure. It sounds like it opened doors to healthy conversations, faithful conversations, and encourage us to study the scriptures and to see what God has to say and to help us to be faithful in these matters. Thank you, Dr. Weiss, for your conversation this morning and for the update on the symposia this weekend. And we'll talk again soon.
My pleasure. God's peace. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God's peace to you as well. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we're going to study with Pastor Sam Belts from St. John Lutheran Church in Oskaloosa, Iowa. We're going to get into Matthew chapter 25 this morning, verses 14 through 30. Hope you can join us for that study of God's Word, all coming up here in just a little bit on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.